Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding. And I hope you weren't expecting today's IARP update on, among other programs, the University of Memphis to answer the two biggest questions that most people have connected to this situation. Question one, when are we going to find out the punishment for the University of Memphis? And question two, is it going to, the punishment, impact the 2021-22 season that is now basically a month from getting underway? Because we did not get answers to either one of those questions. And I even followed up with the IARP. And I'll read you the response that I got in an email. We'll do that in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Adam Rittenberg is going to join me. He, of course, covers college football for ESPN. Wild Saturday in that sport with Alabama being upset at Texas A&M. So Georgia is now number one in the AP poll in the regular season for the first time since 1982. And the Crimson Tide probably going to have to win out. And that means beating, presumably, Georgia in the SEC championship game to have a chance to be in the college football playoff. Because anything short of that is going to make them a two-loss team. And can a two-loss team get in? Even if it's Alabama? I'm skeptical. But I'll ask Adam Rittenberg about it. We're going to talk to him in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break. Come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Ben Simmons is reportedly close to rejoining the Philadelphia 76ers. Turns out even really rich people don't like to lose $1 million a week. I'll get you updated on that story around 4:44. Brooklyn coach Steve Nash acknowledged this weekend that the Nets are planning and preparing to at least play home games without Kyrie Irving. So it sounds like this dude is really going to take a nonsensical stand to the detriment of the franchise that's paying him $35 million this season. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. NBA champion J.R. Smith made his college golf debut today. I'll tell you how he played just before 5 o'clock. And Grizz Pistons tonight inside FedEx Forum. But if you're hoping to get a look at Cade Cunningham, number one pick of the 2021 NBA draft, I got bad news for you. We'll get into that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with an update to the University of Memphis' IARP case. The NCAA promised last week that there would be an update at some point today, and we got it this morning. And if you were operating under the assumption that we might find out when Memphis will be punished and whether it'll impact the 2021-22 season, the upcoming season, well, that didn't happen. So today wasn't an update as much as it was a publication of a timeline that detailed everything that's happened from the start of this case till now. Now, unsurprisingly, there are very few actual details. And I'll tell you why I believe they released this information today here in a minute. But first, let me walk you through some of the key dates that were acknowledged today by the IARP. So what we found out today is that this entire case, we now know it officially started on November 22nd, 2019, otherwise known as 10 days after James Wiseman played his final game at Memphis in defiance of the NCAA, which is what created this entire mess. I know sometimes people get it confused, but this was not caused by Penny Hardaway paying the Wiseman family $11,500 in what is described as moving expenses. That could have been resolved by James Wiseman simply serving an in-season suspension. But for reasons that never made sense, Memphis decided to play James Wiseman in defiance of the NCAA. And 10 days after James Wiseman appeared in his third game and last game of the season, which was a game against Oregon, this case got underway. And since then, the IARP and the University of Memphis have gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth consistently for nearly 2 years. And six different times, Memphis has requested an extension, which is interesting. February 19, 2021 is an important date. That's the date the investigation was completed. Whatever we're looking into, we've looked into it. Whatever questions we're asking, we've asked them. Our investigation is done. That's February 19th, 2021. So investigators were still working deep into last season, but they haven't been working for a while. Then Memphis received its notice of allegations on April 19th, 2021. And since that date, Memphis has requested extensions four different times. And then an amended notice of allegations was sent on July 9th, 2021. And then on August 27th, 2021, Memphis requested a, quote, reconsideration. 4 days later, on August 31st, the complex case unit responded. Then 3 days after that, on September 3rd, the independent resolution panel responded. And it's been crickets since then. Nothing has happened in the past 5 weeks. So let's talk through this.
Okay.
I've had some people ask me if this is all that was going to be publicly acknowledged today, what is the point? This doesn't answer the two main questions that we want answered, which is when are we going to find out a punishment for the University of Memphis? And is it going to, any possible punishment, impact the upcoming season that folks are so excited about because of, in part, the presence of Amani Bates and Jalen Duren? Memphis should be a preseason top 10 team, a team with real Final Four and national championship aspirations. And so the Tigers' worst nightmare of the fans, is that the punishment comes down tomorrow, next week, week after that, a month from now, 2 months from now, in some time frame that allows the University of Memphis to be banned from the 2022 postseason. What that would mean is no AAC tournament, no NIT, no NCAA tournament. Those are the questions people largely still have. That's what matters most. And nothing today shed any light on that. In fact, I sent a follow-up email to the IARP media contact and said, more or less. Thanks for the information. That's interesting to read. But there are still really two questions that remain unanswered, and they're the two most important questions. One, do we know when we can expect the Memphis case to be resolved with punishment announced? And two, do we know whether any possible punishment could impact the 2021-22 season? The response I got back was, first, thank you for your email. That was kind. Followed by these words, quote, the timelines include key procedural actions in the life cycle of the case after they have occurred, showing where they are in the process. To protect the integrity of the independent accountability resolution process, we cannot provide details regarding when a case decision will be made. Once a decision has been made, information will be publicly released. In other words, we might know, we might not, but that's not something we're comfortable saying today.
Okay, then.
Okay, then, indeed. So the question then becomes, what's the point of releasing all these timelines if they don't help us better understand when the punishment is coming and whether it'll impact the next season? Because that's what folks want to know at Memphis, but also at Louisville, at Kansas, at Arizona, at LSU, so on and so forth. And here's the answer as I understand it. They are sick of people telling them to hurry up and asking them why they're so slow. Whether it's on talk radio, Twitter, in columns, people are constantly pointing out, Will Wade's still coaching and has never been punished? When are you going to do something? My God, the James Wiseman stuff was 2 years ago. When are you going to do something? So why do you release this timeline for these six schools? To make it clear to everybody, we haven't been sitting on our hands. We're working. And you guys keep implying that we're taking too long. But do you realize the University of Memphis has asked for extensions six different times? So who's really taking so long? Is it us or is it them? You're saying we should have had this wrapped up by now. You know what we're saying? We would have had it wrapped up by now, if not for Memphis, asking for extensions every other weekend. That's an exaggeration, but you get the point. So the reason to announce these timelines is to get people to stop saying, what's taking so long? Here, we'll show you our work. Memphis asked for something, we get back to them in 4 days. Memphis asked for something, we get back to them in a week. Memphis asked for an extension, we grant it. But the reason this is taking so long is not completely on us. Because if you listen to the Memphis side of things sometimes, whether it's from people who work on that campus or just fans of the school, they'll say, I wish the IARP would just get this over with so we could be done with it. And what the IARP wants people to know is, hey, we'd like to be done with this too. And among the reasons we're not, it's not because we're doing nothing. Among the reasons we're not is because of the University of Memphis. So that's, as I understand it, the explanation for publicly posting these timelines for these six programs and these six cases today. They're tired of people asking them what's taking so long. We'll show you what's taking so long. We can't get into the details, but do a search for the word extension through all of these timelines, and you'll see that among the things that makes these things take longer than you think they should take is because the school in question, not us, the school in question is asking for a bunch of extensions over and over again. Again, Memphis has asked for six different extensions since this case began in November 2019. Anybody trying to tell you that they completely understand what's next or what's in store for Memphis is just guessing. We've never seen a case like this. We've never had an IARP before. There is no precedent. In past times, there was usually a timeline that was well established about how these things go. I remember when North Carolina had NCAA issues that turned out not to be NCAA issues at all. A big date was the day that North Carolina asked for an amended notice of allegations because it reset the entire timeline. And once they got it, they had, quote, 90 days to respond. Something like that. and that 90 days was going to push well past Election Sunday. So Roy Williams had a national championship team. And though ultimately the program was not banged by the NCAA at all because of a technicality, North Carolina for a while was fearful of that. And so the prevailing thought in college athletic circles was that UNC was bleeding this thing out and then requesting that amended notice of allegations just to reset the clock to make sure no punishment could possibly come before Selection Sunday, so that this team that they have would be allowed to play for a national championship regardless of what is to come next. It's unclear how any of that plays a role in an IARP case, because we don't know. Once Memphis responds to this, how long you get to respond to that, and then how long Memphis gets to respond to that. We are totally in uncharted waters here. And so you can look at the timeline and reasonably ask the question, I don't know what else there is to do other than rule on this, because that is the way it looks to me. Like, I don't know what else there is to do. The investigation's done. They sent a notice of allegations. They sent a second amended notice of allegations. Memphis has responded. Memphis asked for reconsideration. The IRP has responded. The complex case unit has responded. It doesn't appear on a very surface level that there's much left to do other than just say, here's your punishment. Here's the announcement. But I don't know that. And I don't think anybody else knows that either. Now, there's been a lot of conversation today about the second notice of allegations, the amended notice of allegations. And on that, I would just say the same thing. We don't know what that means. Amended means changed. An amended tax return, an amended notice of allegations. Amended doesn't mean add. It doesn't mean subtract. It means change. And so I guess you can assume that the second notice of allegations includes new stuff, add some things, because that certainly is one possibility. But it also is possible that Memphis successfully argued, we don't think this should be included. And the NCAA said, or the independent resolution panel said, okay, we agree with you. We'll amend it. Take that out. Again, I'm not sure. But it could work either direction. That's what amended means. And there are cases, not IRP cases, but NCAA cases in years past, where amended has worked both ways. Amended has sometimes meant they're adding new stuff, and amended has sometimes meant they're taking things out. As always, we'll see. The hope for Memphis has always been that this is strictly going to be about James Wiseman. But that has always only been the hope. And the fear is that in this amended notice of allegations, this is not just a James Wiseman issue anymore. That there's more stuff there. As I told you for more than a year now, when I would talk to people in basketball circles who, and I'm talking about grassroots coaches or other college coaches who had former players or in some cases current players interviewed by investigators. Investigators were not just asking questions about James Wiseman. When these investigators were working this case, and again, they wrapped up the investigation February 19, 2021. When they were investigating, they were not just investigating the James Wiseman case. They were investigating anything they thought there might be something. And I was told specifically that they were asking lots of questions about Precious Achiuwa and Lester Quinones and how they ended up at the University of Memphis. Doesn't mean that they found anything. Doesn't mean that there was anything. And it doesn't mean that if there was something that they found it. But they were going down that path. And so your biggest fear, if you work on that campus or if you're a Memphis fan, is that the decision to play James Wiseman in defiance of the NCAA triggered an investigation that uncovered other things that were, in that time, in violation of NCAA rules. Again, I don't know, but it was certainly in the cards and a fear. The thing that stood out most in recent months, as detailed in this timeline, is that at one point Memphis asked for a, quote, reconsideration. And I don't understand how you could possibly interpret that to be a good sign. If only because, let's just apply common sense here. If you're pleased with how things are going, if you're cool with what you're looking at, you don't ask anybody to reconsider, do you?
No.
Like, if I got a letter from the IRS and it said, hey, we got a tax problem, but this whole problem can be resolved if you do this, if I'm pleased with that, if I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal, that seems fair to me, I'm not asking anybody to reconsider. I'm just doing what they say I got to do and getting on with this thing. The only reason in life you would ask somebody to reconsider, in life or, in this case, an IARP case, is if you're not happy with what you're seeing. And to me, that is not a good sign. Again, if Memphis was comfortable with what was coming back from this independent resolution panel and complex case unit, I don't think you need to be asking for reconsideration. That's not a good sign. Or at least, I can't think of a reason why it would be a good sign. I've tried. I can't come up with one. Again, anybody speaking in absolutes about this stuff is a little out over the skis. We've never had this unit handle a violations case before. We don't know when the ruling is coming. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know any of the things today that we didn't know last Friday relative to the main questions that people ask about these things. But I don't think you can look at this and be optimistic about it. Again, when you see Memphis asking for a reconsideration, that means Memphis is not happy with something. And that can't possibly be a good sign. At some point, we'll find out. And my hope is that it does nothing to impact this 2021-22 season. Because folks are so excited, and the team is so gifted. Got such a nice balance of experience and NBA talent. Really good, proven college players with undeniable NBA prospects. The team is big, talented, experienced. They've got shooters. They've got depth. Like I said many times, Gonzaga is my pick to win the national championship. I think that's the best team in the country. But I don't think it's crazy to think Memphis could win it. If you were trying to come up with a list of 7, 8, 9 teams that have the, quote, stuff it takes to win a national championship, Memphis would have to be on that list. I'd put Memphis on that list, and so would Las Vegas oddsmakers. And so to have that opportunity ripped away, especially so close to the start of the season, or if the ruling were to come down in the middle of the season, it would just be a massive punch in the gut. This isn't something we have to deal with in professional sports, but it is a thing in college athletics. Imagine if 4 years from now the Grizzlies were rocking and rolling with Ja and Jaren, projected to be the one seed in the West and among the favorites to win an NBA title, and then you found out 2 weeks before the season you're ineligible for the playoffs. What? Imagine what that would feel like. Obviously, that's not a real thing in the NBA, but imagine what that would feel like. That's what this would feel like for the University of Memphis. So my hope is that one way or another, that is not the case. That said, it is so incredibly frustrating that that school put themselves in this situation. It made no sense when they did it. I said it every day. I yelled it some days. And basically everybody else, not everybody, but certainly the majority, were hashtag Free Wiseman, hashtag F the NCAA. I'll never forget it. I got so frustrated because, like, folks turned on me. Like, I was the bad guy. And I'm like, I'm just trying to protect the university that I care about, that I graduated from. You can get all caught up in a moment, emotional about this James Wiseman thing, but what you're doing right now is dumb. And it's probably, or at least possibly, going to cost you someday. It sounds good to tweet hashtag F the NCAA and hashtag Free Wiseman. But it's not smart. And today was a reminder of how not smart it was. Even back in November 2019, there had been several examples. Because that was one of the narratives. Oh, this only happens to schools like Memphis. No, it happened to Kansas. Very recently, Kansas brought in a five-star recruit named Billy Preston. They discovered NCAA issues right before the start of the season. We found out minutes before the Champions Classic that Billy Preston was being held out, and he never played a game at Kansas. You want to know why? Because the NCAA said, we got some problems here, potentially. You should not play him. And you know what Kansas did? This is Kansas. They said, okay, we're not playing him. Kentucky had an Enes Kanter situation. John Calipari insisted Enes Kanter should be eligible. The NCAA said, we don't think so. You know what Kentucky did in response? They just didn't play him.
Right.
They never even considered, we're going to play him anyway and see what happens. You want to know why? Because it's crazy. And that's just the nice way to put it. The more accurate way is stupid. It is idiotic. And so I am sincere, hand to heart, being honest when I say, I hope that dumb decision doesn't impact this potentially incredible season that's getting ready to get underway. Because that would be so disappointing, deflating. But my God, it wasn't hard to see the uncomfortable situation you were creating for yourself by being so short-sighted in November 2019, by trying to fight the NCAA in a space where you can't fight them. You can't win that one. There are times to fight the NCAA, times to lawyer up. That was not the time. That was not the set of circumstances. And you fast forward nearly 2 years later, and you're still dealing with this. And the timeline that was publicly posted today suggests that we're pretty close to the end. And that word reconsideration popping up in recent months, again, maybe it's a nothing thing. But it seemed like a discouraging thing from my perspective because, again, just apply common sense. If you're pleased with how the process is going, if you're comfortable with the way it looks like things are going to unfold, you don't have to ask for a reconsideration, do you?
Wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either. I'll talk to Jeff Calkins about it a little at the 5 o'clock. When we come back, Adam Rittenberg going to join me from ESPN. I'll talk college football with him. What happened to Alabama over the weekend? 18.5-point favorites, number one in the country. Go down to Texas A&M, lose by a field goal. And now, unless they run the table, and that probably means beating Georgia in the SEC championship game, looks like the Crimson Tide are going to be left out of the college football playoff. I'll talk to Adam Rittenberg about that next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ben Simmons is reported close to rejoining the Philadelphia 76ers, and Brooklyn coach Steve Nash acknowledged this weekend that the Nets are preparing to at least play home games without Kyrie Irving. We're going to get into both of those NBA stories in the next segment. Jeff Coggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers college football for ESPN. It's Adam Rittenberg making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Adam, the big story from the weekend, Texas A&M 41, Alabama 38, Nick Saban's top-ranked Crimson Tide upset as 18.5-point underdogs. I think it's pretty obvious that if Alabama wins out from here, they'll be SEC champions. They'll still be in the college football playoff. Here's my question. If Alabama were to go to the SEC championship game and lose a competitive game to Georgia, so they are two-loss Alabama, is there still a path, a reasonable one, for them to be in the playoff?
Yeah, I would hope not, Gary. And it's not about Alabama. You know, they still might be one of the best four teams, but I'm more on the line of have you earned it? And, you know, this loss to Texas A&M, maybe Texas A&M goes on a run and they're a top 15 team by the end of the year, but they're still a two-loss team at very best. And Alabama would be a two-loss team in the scenario you outline. I think there would be better options elsewhere. I think there'd be conference champions that would be more meriting a playoff berth. So it would be an interesting situation for the committee if a lot of other teams play their way out of it. But we've never seen a two-loss champion and to have a two-loss participant and to have a two-loss team that didn't even win its conference getting in, that really defeats the spirit of what this playoff is supposed to be.
I don't think many of us saw this coming. Texas A&M had not been great this season, even if they were preseason top 10. Nick Saban, though, last week did say this could be a trap game for us. Do you have a sense for how did this happen? How did Alabama lose this game?
Well, I think we've seen now that, you know, Alabama is a little bit of a different team on the road. And it's not shocking when you study what they lost from last year. You know, a veteran quarterback, a Heisman Trophy winner at receiver, another elite receiver, great running back. I mean, it just goes on and on about all the players that aren't there anymore. And I also think on the line of scrimmage, they're not as stout defensively or even on the offensive line outside of a few positions. And so that you go into an environment like that, Texas A&M is very good on their defensive front. You know, they have some real weapons as far as guys that can hit you for big plays, and that was their formula towards having. But the real surprise was Zach Calzada, because he'd been struggling at quarterback in those last two losses, and he really turned it on against Alabama. So impressive outing for him, and I just think it's an Alabama team we're going to have to watch now on the road, because they almost lost to Florida, and they did lose to A&M.
Elsewhere in the SEC, LSU got doubled up at Kentucky, final score 42-21. Tigers are now 3-3 this season, and just 8-8 in their past 16 games. Is there anything other than like turning the season around completely that Ed Orgeron can do to ensure he's the head coach at LSU in the 2022 season?
Right. Well, you know, the next 4 weeks are against top 20 teams, including Alabama. So if they were able to go on some magical run, I think that would maybe make LSU think about it. But you know, here's the thing with coaching searches, and you know this, Gary. It's not always about money. It's about motivation. And LSU and athletic director Scott Woodward, I think, will have the motivation to make a change if things don't get better. Because even during the championship season, which Ed Orgeron absolutely deserves credit for, there was so much talk about Joe Brady, the offensive play caller, and Joe Burrow, the quarterback. And they were both gone, and it's kind of been a mess since. And so I think there's a sense that without those two guys, it's going to be hard for this thing to get back on track. And there's been a few coaching hires that haven't worked out since the championship season or don't seem to be working out. And you also have an athletic director who has a history of splashy coaching hires, which doesn't include Ed Orgeron. It includes Chris Peterson at Washington, and it includes Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. So that would be your motivation for making a change. And it certainly doesn't look good after that non-competitive performance against Kentucky.
So it appears we're going to have two big boy jobs open, USC and LSU. I understand for different candidates, these jobs could rank in a different order. One guy might just like the idea of living in Southern California. Another one might not mind living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Somebody might want to stay away from Nick Saban as opposed to move into the same division with Nick Saban. But from your perspective, USC and LSU both coach hunting in December. Which one has an easier time getting the candidate it wants to get?
Yes, it's a great question. I mean, I think you know, in the sense LSU can go out there and say, listen, our last three coaches, head coaches, have won national championships. You know, we are in one of the best talent-producing states in the country. We're in the best conference, but you do have to go against Nick Saban. You have to go against Kirby Smart and Jimbo Fisher, and then soon to be Oklahoma and Texas. Whereas USC, I think if all things are equal, they will be the best job in the Pac-12, and they have the most tradition in terms of Heisman winners and national champions. So, but they're in the Pac-12, which is a struggling league, and you know, in a state that isn't what it used to be from a recruiting standpoint, because a lot of those players are leaving. So, I think there won't be that much candidate crossover here. Gary, James Franklin and Mario Cristobal are two guys that I think would be. James Franklin, you know, seemingly high on USC's list, could be high on LSU's list. I think Mario Cristobal, even though he's got a huge buyout at Oregon, it could be the type of coach that Scott Woodward wants, because he's an incredible recruiter and he's already been in the SEC, and he might be the type of guy you want competing with Nick Saban in recruiting and ultimately on the field. But other than that, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the same exact group of candidates, but both jobs certainly very attractive, and both are places where you can win a national title.
Urban Meyer has been in the news a lot over the past week for reasons that he should not be in the news. There is at least a chance that he doesn't get a second year in Jacksonville. If he were to come back to college, how hireable is he at this point?
Well, you never say never, and I'm sure there's a group of schools that would love to hire him. I think for these two in particular, it'd be very difficult. At USC, it's a non-starter. You know, their president, Carol Folt, was brought in to scrub that university of scandal. And I don't think would have hired Urban Meyer even before all of this happened, and they won't hire him now. I think LSU may be a little different situation, but they have a Title IX investigation going on. They certainly don't want to add more controversy. even though he's a great coach. I think there'd be other guys available for them. So, could he coach in college again? Absolutely. Would it be right away at one of these two programs? I don't think so.
I'll wrap it up here with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, I have forever insisted that there is no path to the college football playoff for a group of five program as long as it's only four teams. And I think I still believe that. But Cincinnati is now in the top four of both the AP poll and the coaches poll. Obviously, that's not the college football playoff rankings. But do you think this is the season that a group of five team like Cincinnati, if undefeated, can actually get an invitation to that playoff?
I think there's a chance, but they're going to need certain things to go their way. I think it's actually a pretty good weekend for them in the sense that, you know, Penn State losing a game, and obviously Notre Dame winning a game. Every Notre Dame win helps Cincinnati because that's their best win and likely will be their best win at the end of the season. So, you know, they need the Big 12 to play its way out of the playoff, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State still undefeated. Ideally, they need a second loss for Oregon because Oregon has the best out-of-conference win. And at the end of the season, I think it will be the best out-of-conference win at Ohio State. ACC is pretty much out, even though Wake Forest is undefeated. So they're not in a bad spot. The concern they have is like a scenario that you presented, Gary, you know, two-loss Alabama getting in or a runner-up in the Big Ten getting in. So the more that those teams lose games and ensure that there will only be one participant from the Big Ten or SEC, the better chance Cincinnati will have, even with not the most impressive resume the rest of the way. EAC is down a little bit. So it can happen, but as you know, it's a long way to go, and history's not on their side.
That is Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Make sure you're reading him, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. When we come back, Ben Simmons is reportedly close to rejoining the Philadelphia 76ers, and Brooklyn coach Steve Nash acknowledged this weekend for the first time that the Nets are planning and preparing to at least play home games without Kyrie Irving. We'll get into the NBA next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your best man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. Are you rap? Sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. Five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered three times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth. You can drink it straight. I promise you, it is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Makes no sense to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you're going to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut. If you don't see your favorite flavor, my favorite flavor is coconut, by the way. You don't see your favorite flavor in your favorite store, ask them to get it. They can get it for you. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, boy, do I got good news. New Amsterdam makes a gluten-free vodka. It's got a brown label. If you don't see it in your favorite store, ask them to get it. They can get it for you. Next time you are in a bar or a restaurant or a liquor store. If you don't see it, ask for it by name. Even if you do see it, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka, that's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. It's on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Cargan's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Memphis IARP case then, but right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Discussions have gained momentum on All-Star Ben Simmons returning to the Philadelphia 76ers organization likely as soon as later this week. Sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski earlier today. Sounds like somebody got tired of losing money.
Yeah, seems a little awkward. What do you say when you get back? Like,
hey guys.
Hey guys, happy to be here.
Hey guys, what's up? The question is, like, will he come back and actually be a good teammate and a productive member of that franchise, or is he just going to come back and do what James Harden did in his final days in Houston, which is be disruptive, be distant, and expedite a trade?
I would think the latter. Just how the conversations and what you've heard coming out of this whole situation have gone, like, with Embiid kind of trashing him a little bit in the media, like, how's it going to work?
I don't think it will. I think what Philadelphia is hoping, now Philadelphia is saying, we want him to come back and we want to show him he could be a part of this. That is not what they want. They want him to come back, play well, prove he can score and shoot just a little, or at least that he's not scared to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
They don't have a mental hurdle, and people will be reminded of how awesome Ben Simmons actually is as a 25-year-old basketball player, and the market for him will increase. That's what Philadelphia wants. A more likely scenario, I think, is that Ben Simmons comes back and he's difficult and it makes the situation more awkward than it needs to be, than it otherwise would be. And it probably just expedites. Philadelphia just says, all right, it was one thing when he wasn't around and we were just finding him and, you know, saving money. But now he's here and it's a problem. The guys don't like him and he doesn't like the guys. We just need to be done with this. Like, that's what happened in Houston.
Yep.
They weren't going to trade James Harden as quickly as they traded James Harden. But then James Harden is, like, having post-game press conferences criticizing his teammates, and he's partying during a pandemic in a strip club, and he's wildly out of shape relative to a professional basketball player. And Houston just said, all right, we got to do something. It's one thing if he's not here. Now that he's here every day and he's a problem here, it's a problem for us. We got to do something. Think that's what's going to happen with Philadelphia. Ben Simmons will show back up, so they'll have to pay him. And while they're paying him, it'll just be so awkward for everybody because it's going to be clear. It's already clear. He doesn't want to be there. And it's already clear his teammates don't respect him anymore. It'll be awkward for everybody, and it'll motivate Philadelphia to go ahead and get a deal done ASAP.
Story number two.
Brooklyn coach Steve Nash acknowledged for the first time this weekend that the expectation in Brooklyn is that Kyrie Irving is going to remain unvaccinated and they are planning to play at least their home games without him. He's really going to do this. That's what they think.
I mean, how can Steve Nash say that? I don't know, man. I mean, I get it. Like, what other choice do you have if he's not going to get vaccinated? But, like, how is that going to – that's not going to work.
As somebody pointed out this weekend, I thought this was interesting. Let's say that this carries over throughout the season. Because, like, there's a chance, and I think this is what Kyrie is hoping, that with COVID numbers going down throughout our country and hospitalizations going down, that New York relaxes its protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And that New York eventually says, okay, you don't have to be vaccinated to go inside Barclays Center. And he's like, okay, then I'm cool. But we don't know that that's going to happen. I think that's just the hope from both Brooklyn and Kyrie. But somebody pointed out this weekend, I thought this was interesting. If we go through the entire season and Kyrie can only play home games, is it even good for Brooklyn to have home court advantage? Or would you rather not have home court advantage because you theoretically get more games with Kyrie Irving on the road than you do at home?
Can you imagine if it's still in effect? If this goes on the whole season and it's still in effect by the playoffs, can you imagine? Like,
well, imagine you get home court advantage, and I don't think this is all going to play out like this, but there is a scenario where you get home court advantage in the NBA Finals. You're in a Game 7, and because you have home court advantage, you have to play Game 7 without Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
If you did have home court advantage, you'd be on the road, and you could play Game 7 with Kyrie Irving. Home court advantage hurts you. It takes away one of your better players. It's just all crazy.
Very crazy.
It's such a stupid place to take a stand. I mean, I know he thinks he's a world changer, but he's not. I think he's been properly labeled as a contrarian without a cause.
Mm-hmm. That's a good description.
He's a contrarian without a cause, and he's taking a stand here that is rooted in nonsense. Absolute nonsense. There is no sensible or statistical argument that says he is at any risk whatsoever from taking that vaccine. None. None. It is so statistically improbable that you'd have to be crazy to sacrifice millions and millions of dollars and do it to the detriment of your friends and teammates and the franchise that has signed you to a $35 million contract for this season alone. You have to be crazy to draw the line in the sand here. Like, Andrew Wiggins was a knucklehead, but at least he finally buckled and said, okay, this is just, I guess I got to do what I don't want to do, because not doing it is ridiculous at this point.
Sure.
Kyrie hasn't quite got to that point. KD did say this weekend, we're hoping we'll have him for all games, but nobody.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.